Welcome back. My name is Matthew McKenzie, a carer, and you are listening to number 5 in a series of motivational carer talks. Just a little project, again, that I've mentioned before in my other audios that I've been working on to share the years of knowledge with unpaid carers like myself caring for someone with mental illness. Because when you've been caring for so many years, I think it's about time to help others in the journey of being a carer. Now, my audios seek to help unpaid carers find some form of hope in their role when caring for someone. Hence, a carer, as I mentioned before, is a person who is not a care worker or foster care, I suppose, but he's looking after someone in the family, a friend or neighbor. Basically, I could say an unpaid carer is someone emotionally attached to that person and is not in it for the money, hence perhaps the term unpaid. So if you've been listening to my other audios, you probably might know that the audio is in two sections. The first section will be more of an educational background of the particular topic that I would want to speak about. And the next section is perhaps more therapeutic, which is aimed at anyone who is a carer or mental health carer. And when I say mental health carer, I don't mean the mental health of the carer. I mean a particular type of carer caring for someone with mental health needs. The second section of the audio tends to come with a little warning or suppose a little sign, and you probably notice a change in style. So what is the topic for today? Well, it's actually one of my actual favorite topics, to be honest. This is something I've been dabbling in for years, and to be honest, it's something I still don't fully understand. It takes a lot to understand it. I'm hoping that we'll touch just briefly on this topic today. And what I've mentioned off my site, I've probably listed around about 60 topics off my site that I need to get through during the time of this audio, and we'll probably end up with 100. I really don't know. It depends how busy I am. Funnily enough, the topic being care empowerment is not that well known, but in mental health circles, it is very important. In fact, its roots go even further towards, I'd say, patient empowerment many years ago. And, you know, a lot can actually be learnt over the years from the mental health service user movement. You know, psychiatry has not always been kind to its patients, and yeah, there's still a lot of work to do, obviously. But, you know, here are some examples if you don't know what I'm talking about. For instance, and I'm talking about a long time ago, although, yeah, there's some things that I will go into later on, which might make you question a few things. But anyway, if you were diagnosed wrongly back in the past, you could, God forbid, be institutionalized. A terrible thing to happen, especially if you're vulnerable and you couldn't put yourself over clearly. Other examples were derogatory words that were used to describe patients, you know, going back way far, to label them lunatics, imbeciles, or the insane. In fact, mental health law would specifically be defined as the law of perhaps the imbecile or the lunatics. Was that well accepted? Or how about going back even further, you know, years and years ago, the idea and the situation of those who are unwell, mentally unwell, were actually used as entertainment, you know, to raise funds for a health service. And I can go even further from the top of my head. Those people who need to express their freedom on how they would like to live their life were, if going against the establishment, were labeled mad, and then imprisoned. Especially if you were an activist, and a good example was, I suppose, was the suffragette movement. We had, I suppose, women fighting for the votes, not just for the votes, but actually power over their bodies. Were labeled perhaps insane. And people with a sexual preference, those labeled as or diagnosed as mentally unwell. Worse was those suffering from trauma, say from World War One, labeled as cowards and shot. Even strange scientific and social Darwinist ideas about race and gender, which labeled other races as stupid or animal-like. Yes, the field of psychiatry and sociology has not always been kind, and yes, a lot of it was about power. Now, times have changed now. You'd be hard-pressed to find someone in the mental health profession or health profession that holds these very views that I've basically given you an example of. Not to say human abuses in psychiatry or the healthcare is gone. It's not, obviously. Otherwise, you would not have the presence of inspectors that are in CQC or health service monitors that are in Health Watch. And yet, there are plenty, I'm not talking about services, but there are plenty of countries who have a high suicide rate due to an undeveloped mental health system, in fact, undeveloped political system that can lead on to undeveloped mental health or healthcare system. Or perhaps a good example, I suppose, is when you look at a global mental health, you can look at how many people are institutionalized in a particular country, or misuse of medication in the industry. And what's worse, even in the UK, it's quite difficult to regulate therapy or counseling, which is almost at the heart of psychiatry, not just medication, not just pill popping. So, okay, why am I just talking about service users and patients? Well, it's really down to how amazing people had to turn things around. You know, there are many books written on the study of mental health from Michel Foucault and Emile Durkheim and onwards. I'm not going to go into them. It's going to take too long at the moment. I will go into them at a later date. But their aim was definitely to focus on the mental health system, and with Emile, on the situation of suicide. But I want to say this, without some form of empowerment or belief in the self, it is very hard or near impossible to get those in power to pay attention to you or share power, especially when it's your very health or the health of your loved one is on the line. Now, let me give you the current culture of the health service. Now, the NHS itself takes empowerment very seriously, and involvement of patients through, although I think empowerment and involvement are two different things, but the aim is actually to allow patients to influence the health services, rather than outright dismiss them or avoid them due to bad design of health services. What about families and carers being part of that empowerment circle? How are they empowered? What does the health service think of unpaid carers like ourselves? You know, before I went on to this audio, I took a look around, I looked on the government website. I can't remember what it is now, I wish I did. And I didn't note down a few things. It certainly defines empowerment in health in around about six principles. And this is coming from NHS England. And the principles go like this. The first one being care and support is person-centered, personalized, coordinated, and empowering. Second principle is services are created in partnership with citizens. Yes, citizens and communities. The third being that the focus should be on equality and narrowing inequalities. Fourth being carers to be identified, supported and involved. I think the fifth is voluntary community and social enterprise and housing sectors are involved as key partners and enablers. And lastly, volunteering and social action are recognized also as key enablers and stakeholders. So basically, empowerment is a way to include the patient in the healthcare and design systems that put the patient, family and carer at the heart of that design, because that's who it's for. Even in the designing stage, it should, no, hang on, it must be co-produced and co-promoted. A quick word on another way of empowerment, and you know, I've got to say this, I'd be doing injustice if I don't mention this in a mental health setting, which is through the Triangle of Care scheme. I've been involved in that for a very long time, which I believe was used to be promoted by Chaos Trust. This is a national chaos organization, a national chaos charity. And there's a set of principles. I won't go into them too much. Maybe another audio I'll do in the Triangle of Care, which allows for working in collaboration of, let's say, a therapeutic alliance between the service users, professional and carer that promotes safety, supports recovery and sustains well-being. Now, this is something that I firmly believe in as my view in the NHS, the way that it is and will be for some time, cannot always focus on NHS trusts competing with each other. Not to say that they can't, but it's not always the best idea. I feel that they must work together and learn from each other, and learn from families and carers and involved patients who understand. And, you know, I'll bold that, I'll capitalize that, understand the importance of involving their families and carers. But, you know, obviously no system is perfect and there's still a very long way to go. There's been great strides. But I will explore that further in another audio. However, I've explained a fair bit on this section, enough of the education. If, you know, you want to, don't fully understand what I'm trying to get at, please come back and just play the audio again, or come back at a later time and listen again. But anyway, if you are an unpaid carer, please listen to the following part of the audio. I'm going on to section two of the audio for at least find some thought, empowerment and reflection. Motivational section starting in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So listening to all that I've mentioned, you might have thought that providing care was the end all and be all in being a carer. If you have been a carer for quite a long while and have not heard much about what I have mentioned, then don't you think it's strange? Am I being too bold or outright in saying part of influencing the health of your loved one is about power? Do you, as a carer, wonder if you have ever been consulted about a new mental health care service or updated when healthcare systems fail? Or how about this? You know, you wanted to make a complaint, but it took ages and ages and ages to get an answer. Or you could not find anyone who was accountable to a service or a situation. Do you get the feeling that something or someone wants you to go away and quietly carry on caring? No. I want you to seriously think that there is much more to be made from health systems that are designed to push out the family and carer. There is much for the manager of the healthcare system, dealing with numbers and figures that do not look firsthand at how the health system is affecting people on the front line, nurses included. Do you think to yourself that it's not worth attending healthcare consultancy, feedback meetings, reports, because no one is going to listen to you? Think about this. What have they, those providing healthcare, got to lose? Lessons learnt? What have you got to lose? Your cared for's very health, and at worst, life and liberty. As failure of mental health care in the community spells sectioning, institutionalization, time and time again. It's time for you to take power back. It's time for you to use your voice, your connections, and speak as one. Don't do this with anger. That is not a good way. Do this with those who give a damn about you and the person that you care for. Do not think of yourself as a troublemaker, for the very words you might say can save lives. And I mean it. Think of those countless scandals, Stafford Hospital scandal, Gosport Hospital deaths, Walton Hall abuse of the vulnerable, Shrewsbury, Abbey Hospital, Glasgow Hospital, and so on. Abuse, cover-ups, mistakes, denials. Do you think that those involved in the scandal would openly put up their hands without the community making a lot of noise and effort in the first place? Do the vulnerable have to suffer because there was not time to get involved or ask or even make the time to ask those difficult questions or take empowerment? Before this audio comes to an end, one thing that I have noticed is if patients or carers are sometimes not leading or creating engagement groups, and it's all too quiet, then something or someone wants them to be quiet. Think about it. What have you got to lose, and what have those in power, in decision, got to gain? An easy, quiet life? No pain? No trouble? No blame? Not to say everyone in healthcare behaves this way, and God forbid, the bad apples should not be the example of those who believe in the ideals of the NHS. Health for all, equal in health, and in power, empowerment. This concludes the section of my audio, and I hope to see you again next time soon. I'm sure I can drive out another audio later on. And I'd like to say thank you for listening, and God bless you in your caring journey.